Len, I prefer to rather than Leonard.
It is November 30th, 2009, and I am sitting in the common room on Wolseley Avenue and Court. I don't know the name of the building, do you?
No, I don't.
No. And I'm beginning an interview with Len Rissanen. And I'll have Len introduce himself and tell us a little bit about his history, and then he will spend most of the interview talking about his father's experience with the grain elevator explosion in 1945. So, Len, just tell us a little bit about your history.
Okay, my name is Len Rissanen. I'm the son of Len Rissanen Sr., who was awarded the Gold Life-Saving Medal by St. John Ambulance. I'm presently 72. Most of my working experience was out west in Winnipeg. I was only 8 years old when the explosion happened. It was, to my best recollection, shortly after 10 o'clock in the morning on August the 7th, 1945. And I remember my dad, he was, when he heard the explosion, he looked out the window and he looked down towards the elevators, and my mother thought it was something else. She said, oh, it's the Germans that attacked us or something. But anyway, my dad looked out. So he immediately got his better trousers, you know, put them on and ran down to the elevators to assist as much as he could. So,
could he see the elevator from
your
house?
I think all we could just see is probably a billowing smoke or something, you know. Yeah, we wouldn't be able to because we're quite a few blocks from it.
But you were in Port Arthur?
Port Arthur at that time, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
and, Street. And the elevator that blew up was the...
Elevator, I think it was Pool 4B, I think they called it. That's something I have to check. It's probably in here, but I think it was Pool 4B.
Yes, yeah. I believe so, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You were eight at the time.
Yeah.
So were you sitting at the table at the time as well, the explosion?
Well, what happened is my dad had just come in to have coffee. Of course, I was young. I didn't really probably drink coffee. Maybe came in, had a milk or something. And I guess he was just about getting ready to go and back to work, you know, building the house. And all of a sudden, this explosion happens. So he looks out the window, and as I said, as far as all we could see is a, you know, smoke and that. And so then he immediately, his reaction was to go and see what he could do to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ran all the way down there, as far as I know, saw him going down our street and headed over there and tried to assist.
So your dad's history was, what you said he was building a house at the time?
Yes, he was building a house I live in right now, yeah, the family home. Yeah.
And that was his job?
Actually, I guess it was a project. He had never built a house before, so I guess he wanted to build a house, see if he could do it.
Yeah.
And he did most of it himself with some help, with roof and so on.
Was he a veteran at the time?
Yes, he was. He was in the RCAF. Yeah. And at that time, he was 31 for age.
Hmm. So he must have just been back from the war?
Yes, he was. That's why I was sometimes confused on the date. But yeah, he came back probably... can't remember the exact month, but probably the spring of 1945, because we were building a house in August, so it was around the spring that he came back. He was a sergeant in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Had been in Ceylon, or Sri Lanka, as they call it today. Yeah. And I believe he put bombs on the planes, like, you know, armed them. And I think there were Cancels, if I'm not mistaken. They were the flying boats, anyway, the Canadian version. So that's, and he had been in South Africa, he'd been in England, and so he traveled around quite a bit during the wartime.
And then he returned to Thunder Bay to be faced with this big explosion.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because when he first came, he was working for the paper mill, which was a provincial paper mill, and he was in the laboratory, or what do you call it, the, well, I guess where they do the mixing and different things. And then I think he may have applied for a job, you know, with the post office, and may have worked for the post office before. But anyway, he got a job with the post office, so he went over to them and stayed with them till he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you recall of his experience with the explosion?
I remember him coming home. Gee, I can't remember now. It had to be, might have been in the evening, early evening. And I don't recall him. I remember him talking a little bit about, seeing guys and burning weed up to their waist and so on, and trying to, get them out of it and get them down where they could be taken to a hospital. And then he had slivers in his hands from the rope, going across. Other than that, I can't recall anything else. But I know they were hauling bodies up in pulp trucks and everything, whatever they had available. And there was only two fire departments at that time, eh? Port Arthur one, and Fort William came to help also. So it was quite the explosion.
I think there were over 20 people killed in
Yes,
that
I believe this
explosion.
is 22. 22 men.
22.
Yes.
And you have a list of those. Would you mind reading the names of the people who died?
Sure, I don't mind. I'll read them. I'll do this part. Finally, articles attached. More in next email. List of 22 men killed in Saskatchewan Pool 5 elevator explosion, August 7th, 1945. Some died in hospitals from the effects, while some bodies were not found until weeks later in the rubble. First of all, there was Fred S. Bramwell. He was 53. Lewis Henry Dark, he was 61. Robert Elder, he was around 54. John Farrell was 19, one of the youngest ones. Hans or Harry Fossum, 43, fairly young again. Robert Fraser, 43. Harry Halabicki, 41. Harold Harris, 15. That's the youngest one, I guess. William Henry Hodgkinson, 45. Cecil Ross Inslee, 46. Steve Copacilla, 16. John McGolrick, 60. Robert McCullough, 37. George Paquette, 27. Joseph A. Perrier, 18. Sam Plasky, 56. Vernon Rogers, 20. Alex Scott, 56. Ernest Sutton, 44. Ramwell Travers, 42, Philip Valley, 34, and Harold Andrew Wick, 15. That's the total of 22 men that were killed in that elevator explosion.
And you were talking about your father having slivers in his hands from the rope. What caused that?
I'm not too familiar with that. I guess maybe pulling yourself along. You basically, if the picture shows, I think is your feet are over there too, because you wouldn't be able to pull yourself along just with your hands. It would be too difficult.
So there were two buildings.
And the damaged building is where they had secured a line, and that line then was somehow they shot it over to the other elevator that was the good one, and then hooked it up, and then my dad, to my knowledge, was helping them to set up a bosun's chair that they could work back and forth. So that's his reason why he was going across on the line to hook it up so it would work back and forth.
So they were sending people and
yes,
across from the damaged elevator over to the other elevator.
Yeah.
Get to the top, do you know?
That I don't know. I don't know whether I read in here that maybe that he managed to get in there, and I guess he started looking around for bodies and just went up through the rubble and everything, I guess. And as I said, I guess once they decided do a bosun's chair, which I believe Carl Miller was the one who probably suggested that idea. I think they got it from a ship, one of the ships.
Who was the person who suggested it?
Carl Miller, who got the silver medal. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And he and my dad decided, okay, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. So I guess Carl would have people assisting him to put people in the bosun's chair, secure them. And then my dad would work it, bring it back, and then they have a line that they can bring it back again and load it up again. And I guess my dad would have people assisting him to get people down to the ground.
Yeah. So I imagine there were a lot more people in the elevator than just the 22 that died. That there were injured people.
Yes, there was. Yeah. They too much about the injuries, just about the ones that were killed. So I don't even know what a normal elevator employees, from that would be like a day shift, I guess, they were working anyway. So yeah, I'm sure there would have been a lot more than that, possibly double that. But we're injured. It depends where they were at the time too. If they were on the ground, maybe they wouldn't be affected. Although the debris in that could fall and kill them too. Eh? Mm-hmm. So I remember the. I think they had to warn people, watch out for the debris. Eh? So, but yeah, that's kind of.
Did you go down to see the elevator after the explosion at all?
Well, I think being the age I was, I don't think my dad probably wanted me to go down there anyway. And at my age, I didn't feel there was much I could do anyway. And so, no, I just I remember the pile trucks going up our street, Clivett Street there, to the Port Arthur General Hospital. And they were using whatever vehicles they could, pile trucks and everything, hauling dead people and injured people and everyone. Mm-hmm. But they used whatever they could.
And tell me a bit about the awards that your dad won as a result of his effort.
Some of the men, he got the Gold Life Saving Medal from the St. John Ambulance. And it's the only one that was given when he was still alive. The other ones are all posthumous in the United Kingdom. So it was quite a thing. Carl Melbert got the silver. And then my dad was on a couple of shows, radio shows at that time. Shortly after, there was Borden's Cavalcade, I think, was one. And seems to be there was another one. But it probably
were those national? Out. Were those national shows?
Those were national shows, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then he got a number, I think he got a watch from the city. He got a cigarette case, which he never smoked. Those two items come to mind. I'm not sure what else he got along with that. And... So, you know, it was quite nice. And it was presented to him, I guess, in around the spring or March of 1947, I believe. Which
award was that? That was
that was the Gold Life-Saving Medal that was presented to him.
And is that a Commonwealth medal or is that
yes,
Canadian?
Yes. No, it sounds like it's presented within the United Kingdom. Yeah, with the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I said, he is the only one who received it. While still alive, the others were posthumous. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting thing, too, to know that. So these people, I guess, however they got this life-saving award, lost their life doing what they had to do. So,
do you think there... did your father ever talk about his experience as the years went on?
About the elevator?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Not too much. I don't recall, I never asked him many questions about it, and then if he was willing to talk about it, fine, but yeah, I never seemed to, I don't even know whether my mother even discussed it with him. I guess it was just something he just did, and he, and of course Carl Melbert was too, they, I guess, felt that, you know, they were going to do what they can to assist, even whether they worked on the ground to help people, things like this, so... And he had been a sergeant in the Air Force. And I believe he was able to carry that rank into the St. John Ambulance, too.
So he joined the St. John's Ambulance after he came back, or was he? Had he been a member of them even before he
That's
went?
That's something I'm not sure of.
Yeah.
He may have been prior to going overseas and then came back and rejoined. And I know he had been in the militia before that. I believe it would have been the Lake Superior Regiment, I think. And then he eventually went into the Air Force. So, yeah, that's... But he didn't seem to talk very much about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. I guess somehow people just... They don't think about it. They did what they had to do. And for that, they were nicely rewarded, which was quite an honor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite an honor, I guess, even to... Borden's Cavalcade, I believe that was one, and I'm trying to think what the other was, but it may be listed somewhere in my mm-hmm. stuff there. But, yeah.
So did any of this have an impact on your decisions not to work in the elevators?
No, it's interesting. No, not really. Not really. It's, I don't know, I just didn't tend to go that way. I was interested in, you know, drawing a bit and things like this, and so I liked drafting, or went into drafting in high school. At that time it was called PATS, or Port Arthur Technical and Commercial High School. And so I kind of pursued that end of it, did some surveying at Chaman Rodman and on the pipeline and for Department of Highways in Ontario at that time, which is MTO now, and went that way. And then I was posted to Winnipeg in 1964 from Calgary. I was in the Canadian Army at the time. And so I was looking for a job. So I had talked to somebody when I was in the office. Finally got a job with Dominion Bridge, so started in with them.
You've taken an interest in doing some research on the explosions?
Yes, I think when they first talked about an anniversary about 2 years ago, I think it was around 2 years ago, that I thought I'd like to see what kind of information I could find at the library through the microfiche, but I didn't seem to have much success. Mm-hmm. You know, couldn't find anything that seemed to jump out at me and say, this is my dad, this is Carl, and so on. And it's only within the last year that a friend of mine, I guess because of the anniversary of the explosion, was working with someone else, a guy by the name of Nicholson, I believe, to come up with some information. So he sent it off to me. He said, I think you'd be interested in this, Lynn, wouldn't you? And I said, sure. I thought very much so I would. So
how did your friend get involved in?
Yeah, it's interesting because I hadn't heard from Albert for,
And who is Albert?
Oh, Albert Nuttall.
Okay.
He decided to give me a call, and we were talking on the phone, and then he talked about some information he had regarding the elevator explosion, and that he had been talking to someone in Thunder Bay, and would I be interested in information about it? And I said, sure, I sure would. I said, I was trying to find some information myself.
And why was he interested in it? Do you know?
I don't know whether it was because of the anniversary. Maybe it's the connection because he knew my dad had been involved. And I forget what Albert's dad was. He was with the railroad or ship captain or something. But anyway, for some reason, it disconnected somehow. Albert just thought he'd be interested in it. And it was the anniversary or close to the time, you know, of when it happened. Like, you know, well, 2 years ago, roughly. Mm-hmm. They did a thing on the anniversary of it. And so I said, sure, I'm interested in it. So I got this stuff.
Do you know who was heading up the interest in the anniversary?
There was Felley, and I think he was the one that was digging up a lot of information and giving it to Albert. And in turn, as I say, Albert then sent it off to me. Asked me if I was interested in it. So he says, I have some stuff here, maybe you'd like to see.
And so what did he send you?
Let's see. Well, here's the guy's name, actually. Oh, yeah, this is a bit more about it. Yeah, see, Albert put these things on to tell me. Anyway, Dave Nicholson is the name of the guy on Montgomery Street.
Okay. Maybe we'll track him down.
And this is not too much regarding it. It's just kind of referring to the elevator explosion. And I guess this is when, this is from Albert, and then this, I guess, was from Dave. Mm-hmm.
Do you know if your dad ever kept in touch with any of the survivors' families or the people who...
Paul, anybody actually ever coming to the house, to my knowledge. He may have went to visit, you know, but I wouldn't have known for sure that maybe the ones that were injured to see how they were coming along. And but yeah, beyond that, I don't know. I have a feeling he might have, but it's just a guess, you know.
Yeah. So. All these little stories of histories that are stories that slip by.
Yes.
And then wouldn't you wish your dad was here now to be able to tell his story?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I hope it'd be close to what I'm telling you. I think he was, a pretty quiet man. I guess he didn't want to, he did what he thought was the best. And Albert had, I guess he gave my name and stuff to, I guess maybe this is from Dave there. Yes, anyway, this is the guy in Montreal, Albert, that I went to school with.
Okay.
And then he refers to the various articles in the paper. I'm talking about Rissen and Mellerup articles. Again, 2008.
Well, perhaps if you wouldn't mind, if we could have a copy of that information as well. Mm-hmm. If you'd like, I can, I don't know whether you want me to make copies and return it all to you, whatever would be more convenient for you.
Sure. The big thing is, okay, well, you know what the best thing to do is, we can collate or put together what we feel
sure.
you'd like to.
Yeah, once we tidy up the end of the interview, then
sure.
Why don't we go through the papers and put them all together, and we can add this file to
mm-hmm.
the voice file.
Sure, I think
okay.
it would be nice because it kind of then backs up the
mm-hmm.
story and so on. Yeah.
So just take a few seconds to think about, have you had a chance to say everything that you wanted to say, or is there some other information that you want to have recorded?
Just offhand, I'd say I've pretty well covered it. I mean, just as an 8-year-old, it's about all I can read. I mean, he was involved in working with my dad to help those fellows, so those people.
Mm-hmm. Does he have relatives in town?
I don't. He did have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she lives in the city here or not. Her name was Carol. And I guess she's married and that, but I'm not sure whether she lives in the city. I could probably find out for you maybe if I was
well,
to
sure.
Because
yeah.
I'm sure if she was, she would probably want to talk about her dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
She was valedictorian at high school, but she was about a couple of years older than me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for recording this information, because we'd hate to lose it. And I'm sure that, well, I know that you're very proud of your dad, and he really should be recognized in this project for the work that he did on very difficult circumstances.
Yes,
so
I
thank
appreciate
you.
That, Nancy. And on behalf of my dad, I'm sure it's going to be welcomed anyway. So
good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.